Scripture reading this morning comes from Galatians 5, verses 16 through 18. That's Galatians 5, verses 16 through 18. And it reads, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law."
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all share about Jesus being baptized. All four Gospels speak of the Holy Spirit coming upon Jesus. And at the time the Spirit of God came upon Jesus, his ministry began in its fullness, and Satan began tempting Jesus. In John chapter 3, we get the account of Nicodemus talking to Jesus at night. And Jesus talks about the need to be born again. Now, this phrase can mean to be born a second time or born from above. The obvious meaning is born from above because Jesus immediately speaks about being born of water and spirit and defines spirit as the Holy Spirit. It is then that Jesus challenges Nicodemus about his understanding of the Holy Spirit at work in believers. When Peter and the apostles stood before the crowd gathered at the Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, we hear a powerful sermon that calls people to see Jesus as the Messiah and the Savior of our sins. When the people asked Peter what they should do, Peter responds in Acts 2 and verse 38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And when Paul writes to the Christians in Rome that the mindset on the flesh is death, but that the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace, he writes these words in Romans 8 and verses 7 through 11. "For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in the fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit of life because of righteousness, the Spirit of him dwells in you. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." In Matthew 7 and verse 15, Jesus talks about wolves in sheep clothing. And he goes on further to say that we can judge the fruit of another person to see if they are a wolf. But isn't testing them difficult? Is it as difficult for you as it is for me? No, because there are an awful lot of wolves out there who wear sheep's clothing. And there is no doubt that Paul, in the book of Galatians, is making a harsh judgment call on wolves in sheep's clothing. Those who come into all the churches throughout Galatia and teach a false spiritual walk. But if you will, in this clothing section, he speaks directly to Christians, those in those congregations. And now Paul is asking them an important question. He's asking them to judge their own spiritual walk. Let's revisit Galatians 5, verses 16 through 18. The verses that Rusty read us. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, because the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. We are living in a country that loves the freedom to choose. We can choose what to do with our bodies. We can choose what to do with a pregnancy, or who to marry, where or if to worship. There are just so many choices that we can make. Some choices we make consciously, like being here this morning. But we have to be aware that the choices that we make affect us. It affects our family. It affects sometimes the ones we know and even people that we don't know. But choice is a bigger issue than we give credit to. When we examine this passage, we see Paul reminding us about a choice in how we live. We can choose to walk by the Spirit, or we can choose to gratify the desires of the flesh. That is a choice. So right now, God is working in us. He is calling us to judge our own spiritual walk. There is no one more qualified to judge your spiritual walk than you. You know your heart better than any other human being. I know, guys, sometimes your wives know what you're thinking. And I know, guys, you sometimes know what your wife's thinking, but that's an oxymoron. We never know what they're thinking. But we can judge others by their talk, by their actions. But we cannot judge their hearts or their motives accurately. We might have some idea, but oftentimes we're going to miss the mark. Paul is going to give us two lists. The lists that he gives us are not all-encompassing, but they are intended to give us a big picture of what life looks like depending on whether we walk in the flesh or whether we walk in the Spirit. The first list that we find is in Galatians 5 and verses 19 through 21. Paul said, now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. As I have warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. What a person looks like who lives according to the flesh takes up these types of actions and attitudes. There are some things on this list that we might think are worse than others. But the difficulty is that Paul doesn't rank them in order of sinfulness. We know that we live in a sexually immoral culture, and it promotes more immorality. And we also know that anger and quarreling and dividing instead of seeking unity happens in churches, just like it does in the world. But Paul, after he gives this list, gives us a second list, a healthy list, if you will, one that does not make us sick, one that does not destroy. And he uses fruit to describe this list. And if you will notice and contemplate on these lists, the first list is based on the things that we choose, whereas the next list are the things which are produced. Look at the second list in Galatians 5 and verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. God wants to be at work in us. And being a Christian is being a vessel for God. It is less about doing nice things than it is about God's handiwork. God wants to paint society with us. So he produces himself in us for others to see him. We are his fruit, and fruit serves a purpose. It brings nourishment and goodness to those who partake of it. How long have we been working on trying to put these qualities in our lives? I'd venture to say that we are working hard at being more loving, more joyful, more patient. But how often do we find ourselves failing? How often do we feel guilt for not doing the fruit? Here's where Paul is helping us. He is allowing us to see that when we submit to God, when we walk by the Spirit, these are the things God does through us. He enables us to show love, joy, peace, and all the rest. They are not our works, but God working through us. You know, we have the ability to make choices. And I'm grateful for that ability because there's no other animal in the animal kingdom that has it. We can choose to live by our fleshly desires, or we can choose to walk by the Spirit of God. You know, if you think of our Christian life as a house, the gospel that called us, that we obeyed, was a foundation. And it is a strong foundation, just as Jesus used the example of the man who built his house upon the rock. But as I believe, when I was baptized, I had a dilapidated house that was sitting on a strong foundation. And God has placed in our hands, if you will, a Bible, a how-to manual, that we can change that dilapidated house. Because you see, we can sit on that foundation and never do anything about the dilapidated house, and we will watch the house fall down. But if you will, and you're in that dilapidated house, and let's just say that each and every day as you open up your Bibles, it's like getting some money that you can invest in your house and make changes in that house. You might say, well, today I'm going to fix the steps on my porch so that I don't break my neck when I try to get in my house. And the next day as you're reading your Bible, you see something else that needs a change. And you say, well, I need to paint the outside of my house and fix some of the rot and get rid of that. And then it might be we might move inside to the house and we might take some changes in that house inside, maybe painting and maybe putting in some new flooring or whatever to make that house not a dilapidated house, but a home that is built on a solid foundation. But let's just say that in one part of that time, we get that check, if you will, on a day and we decide, well, you know, I've been working so hard. I really need a vacation. I'm going to take this money and I'm going to use it on me. You see, I'm not making any changes. I'm just kind of making something on the outside because it's what I desire. And it might be a fleshly desire. In that way, we fail sometimes. But you know, the one great thing about being in a house that Christ is building is that sometimes when we fail, we can get right back on track. Because the next day I might sit there and I might be reading my Bible and realize where I've gone wrong and I make that change in my life. And you see, you can picture yourself this house each and every day with each and every passing week is becoming prettier and prettier and prettier. The fruits of the Spirit. They don't happen all at one time, my friends. And sometimes these fruits of the Spirit, we fail. Times we become angry. Sometimes we become impatient. And this is where it comes when we have to judge ourselves. How is our walk? If we were to think honestly and deeply on our walk, how would we judge it? What is God doing through us for His glory? You know, I look in Galatians 5 and verse 24. It reminds me of Galatians 2 and verse 20. Verse 24 in chapter 5 says, "And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." In Galatians 2 and verse 20, a familiar verse to many of us, "I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but Christ who lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Sounds very similar, doesn't it? So let's be the Spirit-filled, Jesus-saved believers that the world sees and trembles because they see God in us. You ever want to know why you're persecuted? That's the reason. They don't want to see God because God condemns their actions because of the choices they make. And when they see God in us, they don't care for it. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in each and every one of us, each and every day of our lives. If you are not a child of God, by obeying the gospel, you can set your life on a solid foundation. Through repentance and confession, and through baptism, the remission of sins, that foundation is solid rock. And our Lord and Savior died to give you that opportunity. Think about those things today and don't delay. If your desire today is to become a child of God, we want to give you that opportunity this morning. It will change your life. It will truly change your life. And then as you go about the rest of your life, repairing the vessel that you live in and making those changes, you have a host of brothers and sisters who will help you in that endeavor, to encourage you, to rebuke you in those times of need, and to be able to help you in that journey. Maybe you are a child of God, and maybe you have made too many choices in your life that are not the right choices, but the desires of the flesh. And you need to make things right about those. If it is something that is private, that is between you and God, please take it to Him in private. But if there is something that you need to be made public and to ask for forgiveness in public because it is something that may have brought reproach upon the church, or maybe you just need prayers of the congregation, whatever your need is this morning, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.